Thank you so much for joining us for church online this morning. At this time, we want to give you an opportunity to get connected in this service. And we want to do it in three ways. First, connect with someone else. We want to share the hope of Jesus Christ with everyone. One of the ways that you can do that is by sharing this video with others. Secondly, connect with your church. Connect with your church family by commenting below and letting us know you've joined us for worship today. You can also comment a prayer request or share your request with us at fbcwixom.org/pray so that we can pray for you specifically. Also, you can use this time to worship the Lord through your giving by using the simple and easy giving options below. During this time, we have still been able to reach out to our community and support our first responders and healthcare professionals because of the faithful giving of God's people. Thank you for your commitment to give back to the Lord. Lastly, connect with God. Would you yield your heart and mind to what He has for you today and ask Him to speak to you in a real way? So right now, let's take 60 seconds and connect in these ways. Connect with someone else, connect with your church, and connect with God. Good morning. Let's stand together as we worship. I sing the mighty power of God. Let's sing out all three verses together.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains rise, that spread the flowing seas abroad and built the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained shines full at His command, and all the stars obey. I sing the goodness of the Lord that filled the earth with good. He formed the creatures with His word, and then pronounced them good. Lord, how Thy wonders are displayed where'er I turn my eye. If I survey the ground I tread or gaze upon the sky, there's not a plant or flower below but makes Thy glories known. And clouds arise and tempests blow by order from Thy throne. While all that borrows life from Thee is ever in Thy care, and everywhere that man can be, Thou God art present there.
Amen. Great singing. You can be seated.
Good morning, and welcome to First Baptist Church. Thank you so much for being here this morning. We wanted to take a few minutes and share some things to help you stay up to date. Here's what's next at FBC.
If you're new with us today, we're so glad to have you here. For us, church is so much more than just a Sunday service, and we want you to know that there's a perfect place for you at FBC. If you're interested in more info about FBC, you can fill out a connection card online at fbcwixom.org/connect. Thanks for joining us for worship today.
Just a brief reminder that in addition to this Sunday morning service, we are also gathering on Wednesday evenings here in the auditorium, for a short time of Bible study and prayer. Youth group and kids meetings are still online, but everyone is invited to join the gathering in the auditorium as well at 7 p.m.
We are doing a variety of projects every Thursday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Please join us for a great time of physical labor and fellowship. If you'd like to come at a different time, please see Pastor Brad for a list of potential projects.
Our annual member meeting is scheduled for Sunday, July 12th at 12 p.m. All members are encouraged to be in attendance. More information is posted in the notebook at the welcome station.
Discipleship is still happening at FBC. We hope that you'll meet regularly to pray for one another and take next steps towards Christ together. Books and information can be found at the Welcome Center.
To stay up to date with events at FBC, you can visit our website at fbcwixom.org and make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Also, you can download the FBC app. This app is a one-stop shop for info, videos, giving, and much more. Just go to the App Store on your Apple or Android device to download it for free. As always, thank you so much for joining us for worship today, and we hope that this service will be a help and encouragement to you and your family.
Good morning again. Hopefully you are having a great Independence Day weekend. And we have several church families, including Pastor Brad, who is away. So be praying for them as they're coming back this week and taking a little vacation, a little time up north. So I know many people are doing that, getting away with family. And we're definitely including the weather for that. It's been almost a week, and I think there was like no rain, and it's super hot. So make sure you stay cool as well. So thanks for joining us for worship today. I had a couple of extra announcements before we go into a time of prayer. August 3rd through 7th, Lord willing, we are planning on having VBS this year. And so we're super excited. And I know there's all kinds of different things going on right now. We're not sure exactly what the numbers are going to look like. But we're just going to plan on putting it on and just trust the Lord to bring in who he wants to bring in. And we're just going to preach the gospel to him. So for that to happen, though, we need volunteers. So and we're about a month out. So we're encouraging everyone who would like to be a part of VBS this year to go to fbcwixom.org, our website, /VBS. There is a form on there. You'll fill it out. It's specifically for helpers. Just let us know when you're available, all the days, a couple of the days, what you'd like to participate in, and put down your information for your email and all that other stuff. And then you can touch base with Johnny Martin or myself if you have any questions about VBS. But that's happening Monday through Friday from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m., August 3rd through the 7th. That also being the case, we would like to encourage you, if you'd like to get involved, whether it's physically in person or just providing candy or snacks, that is very much appreciated as well. We need to get on the ball of trying to make sure all that stuff's covered. So candy, we throw those out during the week, and we're going to make sure that everything's taken care of with that. But for snacks this year, we're going to do kind of prepacked snacks and juice boxes. So if you'd like to participate in that, we'd appreciate the help. But it wouldn't be cookies like it normally is, or Kool-Aid, the flavor, the powder, and all that stuff. We're going to be doing everything kind of prepackaged, so it's a lot more sanitary. It's easier to hand out, takes care of liability issues and all that other stuff. So if you'd like to help out with either signing up and or providing snacks and candy, we'd appreciate that. Also, a quick note, August 16th through the 18th, the Sunday afternoon through Tuesday afternoon, we are, Lord willing, planning on having our team retreat, annual team retreat, to Grace Adventures Camp. Along the Lake Michigan border. It's in Mears, just north of Silver Lake. So I checked with them this past week. Everything's good to go on their end. They're making sure that we have a clean and sanitary environment. We had a lot of stuff planned, not necessarily through the camp. They're hosting us, and then we have our own stuff. We're bringing in a special speaker, and we have some other excursions planned. So Lord willing, everything's going to move forward with that. But that's going to be August 16th through the 18th, Sunday afternoon through Tuesday afternoon. And if you have any more questions, you can see myself, or there's some more information at the Welcome Center and the What's Next wall outside in the foyer there. All right, let's go ahead and bow our heads for a time of prayer and ask the Lord to continue to bless the service as we worship him together this morning. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to serve you, to know you, and to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you so much for all that you do for us and you've blessed us with, even through a lot of uncertainty and a lot of anxiety, Lord, that's going on in our community and throughout the world. We know for sure that you are the one true hope. And I pray, Lord, that we'll never forget that. Keep that in the forefront of our mind. And that we will also live that out as being representatives of the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that you'll bless this time together as we continue to worship you in song. Be with Pastor John as he brings your word later on in the service. Be with all those who are traveling throughout this week and throughout this holiday weekend. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's stand together again. More about Jesus. That's what we need to be doing in our lives, is making more about Him, less about us. Let's sing this out together.
More about Jesus would I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me. More, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus in His word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing His voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me. More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase. More of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of His saving fullness see. More of His love who died for me.
Amen. Let that be our testimony this week, to make a big deal about the name of Jesus. Great singing. You can be seated.
Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world."
He gives us hope when hope is gone. He gives us strength when we can't go on. He gives us shelter in the storms of life, when there's no peace on earth. There is peace in Christ when there's no peace on earth. There is peace in Christ.
Amen.
Thank you, Bobins. That was a wonderful message and song. Satan loves to get us to get into extremes. One side or another, he doesn't care as long as we go to extremes. And there is a book of the Bible that people handle with extremes. One extreme is they ignore it altogether. The other extreme is that they abuse it. But I want to say to you this morning that I'm going to give you three reasons why we ought to be studying the book of Revelation. It's a great book, and if you will, turn with me to the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. Chapter 1. Now, I could give you a lot of reasons why we should be studying and reading the book of Revelation, but I don't have time this morning, so I'm going to limit it to three. Three reasons why we should be reading and studying the book of Revelation. And then at the end, I'm going to tell you why I preach this message. A lot of times when a preacher preaches, you get to the end of the message and you scratch your head and say, I wonder what he was driving at. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm driving at this morning, but if you will, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Out of honor and respect to God's word, I'm going to ask those who are here in the sanctuary to stand with me, those who are in the gymnasium, if you will, stand with me as we read these three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, as we open up your word this morning, I pray that you will, through your Holy Spirit, draw attention to this message which you have given us. I pray that he will give us understanding. Lord, I pray that he will help us to apply it to our lives, that we might see the practicality of it, the relevance of it, and Lord, that we might respond to it this morning. May this not be a time when we just gather together and go through the motions, but Lord, may this be a time when we hear from you this morning. Lord, we commit this time to you and ask you to bless it and use it for our blessing and for your honor and glory. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Three reasons why we should be reading, studying the book of Revelation. Reason number one, we cannot know Jesus Christ without knowing the book of Revelation. The Apostle Paul exclaimed in the book of Philippians, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 8. Then in verse 10 of that same chapter, Paul says, that I may know him. Anyone who really loves the Lord has that same yearning and desire in their heart that I may know him. I ask that we sing this morning the song that we sang, More About Jesus Would I Know. I hope that as we sang that, it wasn't just something to fill in the time. It wasn't just something that we do because that's what we typically do in a morning service is sing a song. I hope that it expressed the desire of your heart to know Jesus Christ. I didn't know what the Bovins were going to sing this morning, but the song they sang is so apropos. There is peace in knowing Jesus. But the truth is, we cannot and will not know him if we do not read and study the book of Revelation. We're first acquainted with Jesus Christ or made aware of him, not by name, but we find him in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And there, God is talking to Satan. After Satan is successful in tempting Adam and Eve to sin and eat the forbidden fruit. And God says to Satan in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, the fact is that we today can look back at that verse with hindsight and we can kind of fill in some of the blanks. We can kind of read between the lines and we know what that verse is talking about. But the reality is when God first gave it, there were only four facts in that verse that Adam and Eve were aware of. One is that the coming deliverer would be the seed of the woman. Now, that was a curious thing in the early days of mankind. If you read the genealogies in the book of Genesis, you'll find that the typical way is either some man begat some man, and that man begat some man. Or it says some man was the son of some man and he had sons and it goes on down through the list. But here it talks about the seed of the woman. No explanation, just hinted at a great truth. Second thing that we learn in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 is that this deliverer that God would send would crush the head of Satan. That Satan would be defeated. That is the clearest point that we have in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. The third thing that we find in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 13 is that this deliverer would be a man, would be a male. Talks about he would do such and such. And then the fourth thing that we find in Genesis chapter 3, without explanation, we don't really understand what is involved, but we know that this deliverer is going to be wounded. Satan would be able to bruise his heel. But what wounding that is, they have no idea at this point. What begins here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 then is a progressive revelation. God throughout the rest of the Bible adds information that clarifies these 4 points and adds to these 4 points, so that as you read beginning in Genesis and going on through the Bible, you learn more and more about who he is. Unfortunately, there are some people who stop with the Gospels. There we find that this deliverer is born as a babe in a manger. We find that he is veiled in flesh and walks as a man here on earth. We find that he is ridiculed and rejected of men. And we find that he is killed as a criminal on a cross. And at the very end, he rose from the grave, and then all of a sudden he disappears, goes back to heaven. Where is he? If we stop with the Gospels, we don't really know Jesus Christ. Now, we find in the epistles that more information and explanation is given about who he is. And there are many people who limit their study of God's word to just the epistles, the letters that Paul wrote and that John wrote and that Peter wrote and James wrote. But the fact is, if you stop with the epistles, you do not know Jesus Christ. We don't know Christ until we get into the book of Revelation. The first 5 words of the first verse of Revelation chapter 1 give us the title and the theme of the whole book. Now, you may look in your Bible, and at the top of the opening page of the book of Revelation, it may give a title that says something like "The Revelation of John the Divine," or "The Revelation of John," or "The Revelation to John." That is not the actual title of the book. That is a title that was added years later by men, and it is not inspired of God. But God gave us the title of the book in the first 5 words, "The Revelation of Jesus Christ." As I said, that is both the title and the subject of the book of Revelation. It helps us to know him. And as the Bovis sang this morning, there is peace in knowing him. There is hope in knowing him. There is strength in knowing him. The more we know him, the better equipped we are to live in this chaotic world in which we live. You know that the most frequently uttered command in the Bible is a 2-word command. We find it throughout the Old Testament. We find it throughout the New Testament. And it's simply this: fear not. But the fact of the matter is that in this world in which we live, too many people are like the Apostle Peter. Do you remember the Apostle Peter when he was out on the boat and a great storm came and he saw a vision of a man walking across the water in the storm? And he realized that it was Jesus, and he cries out to Jesus, "If it's you, let me come to you." And Jesus bids him come. Peter gets out of the boat and he starts to walk on water. And as long as he has his eyes on Jesus Christ, he's able to walk across that water. But he gets out in the middle of the water and he begins to realize that he's in the midst of a tremendous storm. And he begins to look at the storm and the effects of the storm, the lightning and the wind and the waves. And when he takes his eyes off Jesus, what happens? He sinks. And Jesus has to come and grab him by the hand and pull him up and save him from sinking. Now, I've heard many messages on that particular event in the Gospels. And sometimes preachers give Peter a hard time. But wait a minute. Before you get too harsh with Peter, remember that there were 11 other disciples in the boat on that same occasion. Peter is the only one that got out of the boat. Peter is the only one that walked on water at least for a time. But when he got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. The truth is, in this world in which we live now, I talk to an awful lot of people, and I listen to the things that we have on the TV and on the radio, and oftentimes preachers and services over the radio and the TV. And one of the things that I noticed is that in these times in which we live, Christians, many of them, are filled with fear. Why? Because of the same reason that Peter sank. They get their eyes off Jesus. They start looking at the things of this world and the events of this world. And their hearts are stirred with fear. Can I say to you this morning that when we get into the book of Revelation and we begin to see Jesus as he really is, see Jesus in the fullness of his glory unveiled from the flesh in which he lives, that fear vanishes, that there is instead hope. Now, the revelation of Jesus Christ. Well, some people say, what do those words mean? And the answer that is given by some is, well, it's talking about Jesus as the revealer, the truth that Jesus makes known. There are others who say, well, no, it is the truth about Jesus himself, that Jesus is the one who is revealed. Well, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't have to be either or. It can actually be both and. Jesus is the revealer, but what he reveals is who he is. And the more we know about who he is, the better equipped we are for this life. I might add one third idea to that. What those five words mean, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation is actually a Greek word, the apocalypsis. Now, all that means is an unveiling, an uncovering, a laying bare. That's all that word means. It's used elsewhere in the scripture. I would draw your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 7. And it says, waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your Bible likely says the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's the same word that is translated revelation in the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Or in your Bible, it probably says the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Same Greek word. Translated two different ways. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. And unto you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. There's our word revelation. When he shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this revelation that Jesus gives us of himself comes to culmination in his second coming. So the more we know about his second coming, the better off we are. The fact of the matter is, the more stability we have in our life, the more peace we have, the more hope. Now, the idea of hope in the Bible is different than the way that we use hope in our times. We use hope usually in the sense of, well, I hope that I get something nice for Christmas. In other words, I have a wish that I'm going to get something. I don't know whether I will or not, but I hope that I do. That's not how the word is used in the Scriptures. God uses the word hope as something that is certain, something that is absolute. The fact is that as we read the book of Revelation and as we put our faith in its truth, we find that we have a certainty that in the end, regardless of what we see taking place around us, we win. Because Christ wins. He's triumphant. He's victorious. We don't see that in the Gospels. But we do in the book of Revelation. It's important for us to be reading and studying the book of Revelation. I would also draw your attention to the fact, and we're going to touch on this again in just a few moments, from the different side of the coin. But in Thessalonians it says, when he comes again, one of the things that he's going to do is come to bring vengeance upon those that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The sad truth is that the message of the book of Revelation is not good news for everybody. It can be, but it's not in reality. Because there are those who reject God and his word. And what they face when Jesus comes again is great wrath. It is only the believer that has the hope, the peace, the stability, the fearlessness of knowing that they win in the end because Jesus wins. Reason number two. Reason that we should read and study the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is Scripture. It is God's Word. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The fact is that the book of Revelation, being part of Scripture, is profitable because it is God's Word. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The him there is Jesus Christ. So the sequence begins with God, who gives it then to his son, Jesus Christ. You say, now, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. I've been taught, as I've gone to church, that Jesus is divine. That Jesus is God in the flesh. And that is true. But the fact that we find throughout, particularly the New Testament, that there are different functions on the part of the persons of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are one in essence, but different in function. You'll notice, for instance, in John chapter 7 and verse 16, Jesus said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. John chapter 8 and verse 28, Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. John chapter 14 and verse 24, Jesus said, the words which ye heard is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. John chapter 17 and verse 8, in his high priestly prayer, Jesus prays, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. But notice in verse 1 that it goes on. The Father gives it to the Son, and then the Son, He, Jesus, sent and signified it by His angel unto His servant John. That's kind of unique in the way that the Scriptures were given to us. Oftentimes, throughout the Bible, we find that people being moved by the Holy Spirit had visions, or there were different ways that God communicated His truth to them and they would write it down. But this is unique. The fact is that God wanted to make sure that the Apostle John didn't misunderstand the message that he was passing on from the Father. And so he commissioned an angel to be John's guide, to make sure that John got it and that he got it right, so that as John passed it on to us, we would have the message and have it right as well. So this is God's word. And the fact is that we need to be in God's word. You say, but it's hard to understand. I mean, why read it? God talks in such mysterious ways and uses such symbols that he shows the Apostle John that it's just impossible to understand the book of Revelation. Beloved, the truth is that if God didn't want you to know this message, he would never have had John record it for us. He wouldn't have given it to John in the first place. The fact is that God does want us to understand His word. It does take study. Let me give you briefly several keys to understanding the book of Revelation, and I'll try to go through these quickly for you this morning. Now, you may wonder, an old-fashioned preacher like I am, what does it mean when I look at my watch? Absolutely nothing. But I will try to hurry along here as we go along. Keys to understanding the book of Revelation. First key, start with the belief that God wants us to understand it. We start with an expectation then that God wants us to understand. Back in verse 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, or unto Jesus Christ, to show unto his servants. So the purpose of the Father giving the Son this revelation is so that we would know what it is that the Father is passing along. Verse 19, Jesus tells John, write the things which thou hast seen. In verse 11, Jesus tells John, what thou seest, write in a book. So it's obvious that God wants us to know this message. That's why he commanded John to record it for us, so that we would have it. Now, the second key, the first key is to start with the belief that God wants us to understand the book. Second key to understanding the book of Revelation is we must be born again. Notice what he says in verse 1. To show unto his servants, not the world, not all mankind, but his servants. His servants are those who have been born again. Those who have come to a relationship with him through faith in Jesus Christ, his son. I already pointed out to you from 2 Thessalonians the fact that when Jesus comes again, there are those who face not victory and triumph and glory, but face God's wrath. The fact is that those people will never understand the book of Revelation. You must be born again. Why is it important that we're born again to understand the book of Revelation? Well, the answer is only born again believers have the Holy Spirit living within them and ministering to them. Unbelievers don't have that, but we do. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. We don't have time to read that whole section, but I would commend you to go back and read it on your own today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 through 16. But I want you to just notice a couple of verses in that passage. Verses 11 and 12. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So God's given us the Holy Spirit so that we can know the things that he wants us to know. Verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But the natural man, that's the unbeliever, that's the person still in bondage to his sin, hasn't been born again. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. John chapter 14 and verse 26, while Jesus is still here on this earth, he says to his disciples, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. John chapter 16 and verses 13 through 14. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. So number one, we start with a belief that God wants us to understand the book of Revelation. Number two, we must be born again so that we have the Holy Spirit living within us and ministering to us. Now, I might add, and I don't have time to go too deeply into it this morning, but it's important for us, if the Holy Spirit is going to minister to us and give us illumination and understanding, that we not be grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit by our lifestyle. But the third key in understanding the book of Revelation, we must pray and ask for understanding. Psalm 119 verse 18 is a prayer that ought to be on our lips every time we open up God's word. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Key number four. Read it repeatedly. Don't just read about it. Read it. You've got to know what it says before you can know and understand what it means. The unfortunate thing is, as I alluded to earlier, when I gave the illustration of Peter. And as he looked around at the storm surrounding him and took his eyes off Jesus. There are many people in a very similar way do the same thing today. And the storm is the trouble and the trial and the events around us. And they look at those events and then they try to fit God's word to those events. And oftentimes they get very dogmatic about what they think it means. They don't know what the book says, but they think they know what it means. The fact is that we really need to look at God's word and read it and know what it says and know what He says before we can understand it. The fact is, another objection that people have that drive them away from the book of Revelation is the fact that there are so many interpretations of the book by the experts. I don't know what to believe. I'm totally confused, many people will say. So they leave it alone entirely. Of course, Satan is thrilled when we can get confused and leave God's word alone. But the fact is, the fifth key in understanding the book of Revelation is we need to assume that God says what He means and means what He says. Years ago, the late great preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon was approached by somebody who wanted to trip him up. And so this man opened up the Bible to a controversial place in the Scriptures and he said to Charles Spurgeon, what do you think this means? Because there were many different interpretations of the particular passage that he turned to. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon looked him in the eye and said, I know exactly what it means. It means exactly what it says. And that's true. Instead of trying to interpret God's word by the events around us, we need to first know God's word and use God's word to interpret the things that are around us. David Cooper, years ago, who was the founder of Biblical Research Society, penned what has come to be known as the Golden Rule of Interpretation. And it is often shortened and summarized in this statement. When the plain sense of Scripture makes common sense, seek no other sense, lest it result in nonsense. And basically that's true. We take God's word as its plain, clear teaching and meaning. Another objection that some people have so often is, well, so many people over the years have set dates and those dates have come and gone and Jesus hasn't come back. Must not going to be coming back. I would commend to you this morning, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 14. Again, we do not have time to go into it, but it tells us there in the last days there will be scoffers who arise and say, where is the promise of His coming? Everything continues the way it always has been. And the fact is that of so many things that God has done throughout the history of mankind, they are willingly ignorant. And they become skeptical. But unfortunately, there are some Christians who become scoffers. Where is the promise of His coming, they say. I can remember receiving in the mail a little booklet, 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 1988. Edgar Wisnot wrote that. Well, Jesus didn't come back in 1988. Didn't discourage Edgar Wisnot. He just wrote 89 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 1989. I remember long after that, I wish that I had kept it. But I received in the mail a flyer. And the bold headline at the top was, The Bible Proved True. And then it went on to explain that Jesus was going to return in September of a certain date in September of that year. The problem is, I didn't receive that in the mail until October. Some people who would get that would say, yep, that's right. See, the Bible isn't true after all. Because it didn't come back the way and the time when that man said that it would. One of the more recent experiences we had was Harold Camping, who was the founder and head of a great network of Christian radio stations across the country. And much about those radio stations was great, had great music. But Harold Camping was way off in eschatology, or the study of things to come. He said that Jesus was going to come back in 1994. When Jesus didn't appear physically, Harold began to teach, well, Jesus did come back, but he came back spiritually. Then he came a little later on, and he began to buy billboards all across the country, and he began to announce on his radio stations all across the country, and he gathered many followers, and he taught that Jesus was going to come back in May the 21st, 2011. Well, Jesus didn't come back, didn't discourage Harold Camping. He just said, well, I was wrong. It was October 21st, 2011. It's interesting. Jesus didn't come back in October 21st, 2011. I didn't hear much from Harold Camping after that. Didn't have much to say. I remember when they talked about Y2K. The Lord was going to come back then. I can remember back when Jack Van Impe said, now, I'm not going to set dates. But, boy, I'll tell you, he left no doubt that it was 1976 that Jesus was coming back. The fact is that the Bible is very clear. No man knows the day or the hour that Jesus is going to come back again. Jesus is very clear about that. That doesn't mean he's not going to come back. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angel of heaven, but my Father only. But then in verse 44 of that same chapter, Jesus says, therefore be ye ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see, the fact is that we don't know the day or the hour, but we are commanded over and over and over in the Scripture both to watch and be ready for when He comes. Back before Winnie and I were married, my mother was living in New Jersey at the time. And we were on break from school. And Winnie and her parents were going to come visit in New Jersey. And we knew about when they came. So mother and I cleaned the apartment that she lived in, and we worked and worked. And finally, I was able to go and take a shower, and I started to shave, and I'm shaving, and there's a knock on the door. Winnie and her parents had gotten there early. My mother was tied up and couldn't answer the door. She said, answer the door. So sure enough, I opened the door, and there I was with half my face shaved and the other half full of shaving cream. My future father-in-law said, well, if it make you feel any better, I'll put shaving cream on my face. The point was, I wasn't ready when he came. There are going to be an awful lot of people in the world when Jesus comes again that are going to be standing there with shaving cream on their face. Metaphorically, they're not going to be ready. We don't know when it is, so we've got to be ready today. The fact is that the Bible teaches us that there are no prophecies that need to be fulfilled before Jesus raptures the church. Before he comes in the clouds with the shout of the archangel and the blast of the trumpet, and we are caught up to meet him in the clouds. There is nothing that needs to take place. That's why the verses that we said tell us that his coming is at hand. It can happen at any moment. Now, all of the prophecies concerning the second coming have to do with what follows the rapture of the church. Have to do what leads up to His coming to earth to establish His kingdom on earth. Now, the fact is that we see the stage being set. There are some prophecies for that period of time. They don't prevent the Lord from coming now, but some of those prophecies, we begin to see the stage being set. For instance, Israel has to be in existence after the church is raptured. And we've seen since 1948 that Israel, again, is a nation. Stage is being set. But the fact is, nothing has to happen before Jesus comes for His church. He can come at any minute. What does the Scripture say? Luke chapter 12, verse 37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching." Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto Him to show unto Him, unto His servants, things which must shortly come to pass." That doesn't mean shortly in the terms of right now. It means it'll happen quickly as it comes. Why do I say that? Revelation chapter 22. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book." Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. "Behold, I come quickly." Revelation chapter 22 and verse 20. "Surely I come quickly." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. "For the time is at hand." It could be before the service today is over. Are you ready? You need to be. Father, help us to have a burning desire to know this often neglected book of the Bible, that we might have the hope and the confidence and the peace of our ultimate victory. Lord, we're so grateful that you have given us a glimpse into the future. And Lord, I pray that you might indeed give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to receive and minds to understand this message that you want us to know. Lord, I just pray that you might indeed minister to our hearts through your word this morning. I ask that in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, I told you already this morning that I was going to tell you why I preach this message. Three things I hope to accomplish in this message. Number one, I hope to stir your hearts to get excited about the book of Revelation. To stir your hearts that you might really get interested in knowing the message that God gave to His Son, and His Son sent an angel to guide John so that John would record it for us. As I mentioned before, we sang, and I requested that we sing more about Jesus, Would I Know. We're going to close the service with that as well. Pay attention, if you will, to the words. I hope it's more than just a song for you. I hope that it is a prayer in your heart that you might know and know Him better. And the truth is, you can't know Him if you don't know the book of Revelation. Here's the second thing I hope to accomplish. If you're here in the church, or if you're watching live streaming and you're not born again, beloved, get born again and get born again now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off. You're not ready if you're not born again. You're not watching if you're not born again. Unfortunately, if you're not ready, it's more than just having shaving cream on half your face. If you're not ready, it means doom for you. But beloved, you can change that in a moment. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wherever you are, here in the auditorium, over in the gymnasium, at home, as you're watching the live stream, all you need to do is bow your head. Say something along this line. God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that the wages of my sin is eternal death. But I believe that you loved me. And I believe that you have provided a way for me to be born again. You sent your Son to die on the cross for my sin. Right here and right now, I put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ and what He did for me on Calvary. Save me for Jesus' sake. If you pray a prayer like that and you mean it with your heart, God's promise is He will save you, and He'll save you now. And then you can be ready for the Lord's return. So number one, I want to stir within your hearts an interest and an excitement about the book of Revelation. Number two, if you're not saved, I want to warn you to get saved as soon as possible. And number three, Lord willing, in August, we'll be starting Sunday school again. And now, that's not set in stone, but that's the goal that has been shared with us. That desire that pastor and the deacons want, that we'll start Sunday school. Those who are in my class, we're going to be studying the book of Revelation in depth. So you're invited to come to Sunday school. If you're not normally coming to Sunday school and you're not normally here, I invite you to come. And if you want, you can join our class and we're going to study together the book of Revelation. I think it's important for our time that we know the message that God has for us. Let's stand together, if you will, and sing the last verse of More About Jesus, Would I Know.
More about Jesus on His throne, riches in glory all His own. More of His kingdom sure increase, more of His coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Amen. Thank you for being a part of our service today. Thank you, Pastor John, for that timely message, a great reminder and encouragement to all of us. I'd like to encourage everybody, just basically what it normally is right now, if you'd like to congregate and fellowship a little bit, we just ask you to do it outside. It's a beautiful day outside. Also, Johnny and a couple of deacons, I believe, are going to be putting some of the chairs away in the gym from the overflow. They could use some help. Many hands make light work. We'd appreciate it if we have a couple guys or whatever wants to go help them gather those chairs up. That would be very, very helpful. We appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us for worship today. You are dismissed.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. The Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.